All right, then we'll say good morning. Let us continue. So we left off last week in Osir Beis in Tzidkas HaTzadik, and the Rebbe introduced us to the two components of tshuva. There's lahaba, ultimately, again, future-focused tshuva, a desire and a need to live differently going forward. And there's tikkun ha'avar, fixing the past. Two different dynamics, two different pieces of tshuva. So remember, again, last week, we focused on we focused on Tara Alaba. We focused ultimately again on figuring out the way to go ahead and change one's direction going forward. Now the Rebbe says, and this is on page Chaf Beis, on the sheet, on the PDF that I sent out last week, the Kapara Hulatakin Ha'Avar. Kapara, on the other hand, is the process through which one goes ahead and remedies the past. Ulechaper hachet, to go ahead and atone for sin. Vuhu ayidei karban. I'll say ultimately again, how is kapara affected? So kapara is often affected through the bringing of a karban, a sacrifice, an offering. V'dugmaso tfila otanis otzdaka. An example of this is tfila, prayer, or tanis, fasting, or tzedaka. Ultimately, again, the charity. So I want to show you something very interesting over here. If you take a look in the Biuri HaChasidus, he says something really fascinating. It says, "V'inyan kapara hanitzrechas la'adam avur hashlamas hatara, hu gam betaras hanefesh atakim espegama avur." So remember again, the way we started off. Up until now, we've been focusing on tara ala haba, the ability and the need to purify one's actions going forward. Now says it, but there's another piece to the purification process, which is kapara, atonement. And what does atonement do? Atonement takes care of the past. He says, "Veritzu izeh, amrigim mebore chasidus, hu ayide karbon, she'inyano hiskarvus lahashem." So remember again, remember what the Rebbe is doing is, he's taking the framework and the model we have for, let's say, we'll call it purification and atonement vis-a-vis kodshim, vis-a-vis karbanos, and he's applying that model to personalistic change. So therefore, again, says the Rebbe, just like when a person is tameh, so part of his purification process is the bringing of a karban, the bringing of an offering, so too, when one wants to achieve some level of kapara, which in the Rebbe's model we're focusing, kapara is the way you remedy your past, you must bring a karban. So first of all, let's talk about this just a moment. What does it mean when the Rebbe says that halacha lemaisa, it's a karban that goes ahead and affects kapara? So again, I understand how that works in the world of tumah. There are certain forms of tumah where the only way to remedy it, or the only way to achieve some level of atonement, is through the bringing of an offering. But what does that mean on a personalistic level? So perhaps what the Rebbe is saying is as follows. So the Rebbe says the essence of kapara is the bringing of a karban. Now remember again, the Rebbe points out over here, he says karban is from the lashon of hiskarvos. Hiskarvus Lashem Yisbarach. Karban means from karov, to come close. To come close. So the Rebbe is saying, therefore, how does one go ahead and affect kapara, affect atonement for the past? Karban, through coming close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the way to read the rest of this paragraph is, and how does one come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Tefillah, tainis, tzedakah. These are all things that bring a person closer. But perhaps that was also teaching us something different. Then I would say, one of the incredible things about, let's take a step back. When a person wants to do tshuva, which is what we're describing, so what does tshuva engender? Tshuva itself engenders a feeling of closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right? That's what happens. That ultimately, again, when I go ahead and I do tshuva, I bring myself close to the Ribono Shel Olam. Now, there's a fascinating dynamic of sin, which is, sometimes I realize that in the aftermath of sin, the tshuva process is drawing me so close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, closer than I ever would have come without the sin. Let me say that once more. That sometimes, again, in the process of doing tshuva and rectifying that which I've done wrong, so I find that I come closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu than I ever would have without having sinned. Now, I know that sounds like a little bit strange, but it's logical, meaning when a person does tshuva, they need that forgiveness from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because they need that forgiveness, by definition, they must propel themselves closer to the Ribono Shel Olam. So it turns out something amazing. It turns out that one can make the argument that chet, sin, brings a person closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu than I ever would have been without the sin. I know it sounds strange. And again, I want to be clear. I'm not advocating, therefore, we should sin. And there, you know, why? Go ahead, do an Aveira. This way you come, Pinchas likes that, right? This way you can go ahead and come closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. No. Obviously, we said the goal is to avoid sin. And the goal is to come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu through adherence to His word, through adherence to His dictates. But, nevertheless, it is a fascinating byproduct that at the end of the day, sin brings me closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, again, at the end of the day, I need to come closer. I need to find Him. I need to seek forgiveness. So therefore, that's what the Rebbe means when he says, Ufekaparo, hu letakin ala avar, ulechaparachet v'hu ayidei karban. So we'll say, how does kapara occur? How does atonement occur? So it's fascinating. Atonement occurs when at the end of the day, you could demonstrate that, look, Ribono Shel Olam, as a result of this sin, I'm using this opportunity to come back even closer to you. To come back closer to you. Without the sin, I would have been holding here. But now that I sinned and I regressed, I realize the acute need to come closer to you, and therefore the sin itself propels me forward. So it's an incredible, and that's the kapara, that's the atonement. When I take the sin and I show HaKadosh Baruch Hu, look, I'm using this sin as an effort to come closer to you, that in and of itself provides atonement. He goes on. V'kaimalon, however, there's a fascinating dynamic here. V'kaimalon, kapara lo ma'akeles. Now we'll say, now remember again, let's talk about this vis-a-vis regular tumah. So vis-a-vis regular tumah, kapara is not ma'akev. Now what does that mean? So let's take a simple case, as he does in Be'er HaChasidus. Let's say a person is a Zav, or a person is a Mitzora. So they have to go through a purification process. Now the truth is, they're also obligated to bring a karban. But interestingly enough, the karban is not ma'akev, which means that the Zav, or the Mitzora, have the ability to become tahar, even if what? Even if you don't bring the karban. Even if I don't bring the karban, ultimately, again, I become tahar. So the Rebbe says something amazing. He says, so we know, therefore, again, by personalistic tuma, kapara is not ma'akev. The tshuva afilu, hir her belibo, hareze tzadik gomer. So Rebbe will say, this is incredible. So look at the Be'er HaChasidus just a moment. He says, v'kai molon, anu noktim b'gimar l'halacha, Shekapara hakravas hakarban lo ma'akeves es hakohen shahayazav o mitzora v'nitar mitumaso melechol b'truma. So we'll say, for example, let's say a kohen became a zav. Right, or a kohen becomes a mitzora. After he goes through his purification process, even before he brings a karban, he is permitted to eat truma. Right, so what? So you see this concept of kapara. Kapara, the Rebbe is understanding in a very literal way, means karban. So kapara is not ma'akev. Kapara does not hold you back from accomplishing or from reaching personalistic purity. So what's the message, says the Rebbe? Kimokein gam b'taras ha'nefesh. Tikun ha'avar ha'nitzrach la'adam kidei lavo l'madregas kadosh eno ma'akvo melihios tzadik. Kimoshim v'roha. So we'll say this is incredible. The same way, by personalistic purity, kapara is not ma'akev. I need the karban, but I can eat truma even without the karban. So too, I will say, in life, this is absolutely incredible. In life, a person could go ahead and achieve a level of atonement without having to work on kapara, without having to work on the past. As well, so Rebbe says, just remember again. I'm sorry. Let me just take a step back. So, in the Rebbe's model of tshuva, two pieces. Right, there is ultimately, again, tara al ha'avar, or tikun ha'avar, right, taking care of the past, and kapara. Kapara means, I'm sorry, it's just the opposite. Tara means ultimately plotting a different path in the future, and kapara means taking care of your past. What's kapara? How do you take care of your past? That's karban. What does it mean, that's karban? When I could demonstrate that the sin has been helpful in propelling me forward and bringing me closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then by definition, that's how I achieve atonement for my past. I rectify the mistakes of the past by showing that it's those very mistakes that have propelled me higher than I ever would have gone without the mistakes. So I will say, this is an incredible yisod. This is how says the Rebbe, that you achieve tshuva for your past deeds by utilizing those past deeds and showing that they are the mechanism through which now I am pushing myself to reach unparalleled heights. It's true, it's motivated by a sense of guilt. It's motivated by a sense of culpability. But at the end of the day, it's the sin that caused me to bring the carbon, that caused me to come close. But says there was something amazing. We know the halacha is kapara eina ma'akeves. That halacha l'maisa, you could eat truma after undergoing the entire purification process, even if you don't bring your carbon. So what do you see from here, says the Rabbi Elazar, with this laugh then? What do you see from here? You see from here that as important as rectifying the past is for the tshuva process, if you don't do it, you can still be a Baal tshuva. Even if you don't focus on your past, and all you do is focus on your present, future, going forward, ultimately, again, it's not ma'akiv. Halacha l'maisa, you could eat truma, you could still be a tzaddik gomer. Which Rav Tzadik is teaching us something absolutely amazing. Although the tshuva process, as we said before, is comprised of two parts, working on the future and rectifying the past, HaKadosh Baruch Hu also understood that sometimes rectifying the past is incredibly painful. Sometimes rectifying the past is just incredibly overwhelming. And so many people give up on the ability to lead and to live better future lives because they're too scared to confront their past. And therefore says the Rebbe something absolutely amazing. Kapara eino ma'akeves. You can become pure even without kapara. You can become pure even without the carbon. So for some reason, you don't yet feel ready to tackle your past, says the Rebbe, you could still become a tzaddik. If you can't figure out how to go ahead and address your past and use your misdeeds as a carbon, as a catalyst for growth, it's okay. Just focus ultimately again on doing better from this point forward. An incredible, incredible yisod. If taking care of the past is too difficult, too overwhelming, too sad, too much to handle, leave the past in the past and focus on being better from now and forward. So we'll stop over here. We'll see. Now again, I want to be clear. The Rebbe is not suggesting, of course, don't rectify your past. We'll say that's the goal. The goal to be a complete Baal Tshuva means I have to figure out the future, but I also must reconcile the past. I have to bring my carbon. But so many times in life, people kind of walk away from the tshuva process because the whole past thing, right? The whole kapara, the whole carbon is too difficult. So therefore the Rebbe says, if it's too difficult, focus on the future and leave the past for a different time. We'll stop over for today. We'll pick up with this Yisod and Yirtzeh Hashem tomorrow as well. Shkoyach Rabbosai.